Hey guys, Zach here. I just wanted to give you a heads up that we ran into some technical difficulties with the audio on this video. Being in the new studio, we're still trying to work out some bugs here and there with the new setup. And so sadly, that happened on this video. With that said, you can still hear everything. It's a great interview. I had a great talk with Chris. It's just that the audio is not quite as crisp as it normally is. So I hope that will not deter you. Please listen to this. It is so great. And I just want to thank you for your continued support. You guys take it easy. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Salty Saints Podcast. I am Zach, and I'm sitting here with Kristen Parker. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. This is your podcasting debut.
It is.
How's it feeling?
I'm a little nervous, but we're going to be good.
Okay, fair game. So, we're doing a faith story.
Yeah.
Start out by just telling us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and then we'll get to the beginning of wherever this journey started, and we'll do that in a second. But
okay, like I said, I'm Chris Parker. I have a husband and three boys, and I'm pretty much a stay-at-home mom. And I homeschool, and I try to say as many times as I can.
Oh, me too. I love it.
So that'll be great. That's kind of me. I'm pretty low key. I we're foster parents. I guess I should say that.
Yeah.
I contract for our foster care agency to go out and talk to people about the need for foster parents. So if you're listening and want to know more, let me know.
Perfect.
Yeah. So that's just kind of us. I run the Vulnerable Children Ministry here at the church, and so yeah.
Okay. So as far as faith goes,
mm-hmm.
Where did that start? Where did that start with you?
So I was raised in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. I was about 6 or 7 when I came to accept Jesus as my savior, and, was just raised in the church, had a great childhood, wonderful Christian parents, Christian grandparents, and, went to college and kind of walked away from it for a little bit, because, that's typically
seems to be the trend, right?
I did for, and it was maybe only about a semester or so. Just I had to make it my own, realize that, God is who he is, and that my faith is not based on my parents, but it's based on my relationship with Jesus.
Right.
So
I think that's good. I think
it's scary for the parents, of course.
Right. And I think it's almost problematic because of that. I think a lot of parents are afraid to kind of step back and say, like, hey, they have to own this themselves.
Right.
Like, you can't make anybody believe anything.
Right. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think that's common, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that semester, you said you walked away. What brought you back?
I didn't ever walk away completely. It was just more of just really an intense wrestling that I was doing with it. It was like I tried to walk away, but there's something in me knew even deep down that it wasn't something I could walk away from completely, and just really just had to wrestle through.
Sort of like a wilderness sort of situation.
Kinda, yeah.
Learning to rely on God.
And, it was being away from home and everything for the first time, and, a big public university. And
a million different options.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so after college,
mm-hmm.
you are now back in the faith pretty...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, I went to church through most of college.
Gotcha.
After that semester,
gotcha.
I was back in church.
How are you engaged, like, what were you doing with the church during that time?
There was a, a youth ministry on campus that I did for a little while. It wasn't a great fit for me. And then, like I said, I was going to church on Sundays, and that was kind of it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
then you and had you and Jimmy met yet?
Well, we met my junior year of college.
Okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. And then when did you guys get married?
We got married, let's see, 2 years after I graduated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Chris's husband, Jimmy, works here at, here at the church, and he's hilarious, and I'm going to get him on here eventually. He's been on once, but we've got to get him on here and talk about some, like, aliens or something, because
he would love
he that. Secretly wants to.
I know he does.
Tries to find his excuses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, yeah, and then you guys got, how many kids together now?
We have 3 boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So our oldest is almost 20. Then the middle one is 18, and then the youngest is, he'll be 7 in like 3 weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he is actually adopted.
He's adopted through foster care, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I know that was kind of a big part about what we wanted to kind of dive into and mm-hmm. talk about. Mm-hmm. And where do you think we could start with just, you know, what do people need to know about foster care first and foremost?
It is not something to be entered into lightly, as you would figure out quickly through training.
Right.
Do
they almost try and scare you off?
No. I think a lot of times, this is what happened to us, and I think it's very common. You go in, you do your training, and you think, I got this. I mean, I have 2 biologicals. How hard can this be? Well, it's hard. It's totally different parenting. It's just, it's all different. And so when they tell you about trauma and trust-based relational intervention, parenting, and trauma-informed care, listen to what they're saying. Really take that to heart. Don't think that because you have parented other children that you can parent kids from trauma backgrounds.
Right.
I mean, you can, but you're probably not going to get the desired effect.
You probably mess things up a little bit too if you don't approach things properly.
I would imagine so.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
So not to scare anyone. But.
Gotcha. What else was that process like? Like just diving into foster care?
You mean like once we were licensed or? Or how did we get into it?
Yeah. Like what's the process of getting into it like?
So you can license straight through the county, and that is just a traditional license. And that takes 15 hours of training, plus all of your paperwork. You have to do the same paperwork for both. It's a packet about like this, which is not nearly as tedious as it looks. The forms, some of them, it's like you have your name and check, 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 mm-hmm. and then you sign. Or you can license through an agency. There are 8 agencies in and around Indianapolis, excuse me. We are licensed with an agency called Children's Bureau that serves Marion and then the Donut counties.
Gotcha.
And they do a lot more than just foster care. But going through an agency, you have what's called a therapeutic license, and that requires 20 hours of training instead of just 15. And then it's an additional 20 every year versus the 15 every year.
Even to maintain
your license.
Wow.
Yes, to maintain your license.
Okay, real quick, sir.
Sure.
Right. You were good at the angle you were at. I just think that'll look itself better.
Sure. That is basically it. The therapeutic license allows you to take children that are more emotionally or medically fragile.
Gotcha.
They need more therapy. That's why it's called therapeutic. You can get a non-therapeutic child with a therapeutic license, but theoretically, it shouldn't go the other way.
Okay.
You shouldn't have a traditional license and get a therapeutic child.
Now, are you guys still currently paying or still doing that every year?
We are. We don't take a full-time placement. We just do respite placements right now.
Okay.
But you still have to have the full license to be able to do that.
Gotcha.
Especially because our son was high medical when he came to us, and so we're probably more comfortable than many people are taking medical kiddos. So we want to keep that therapeutic license to be able to help, because it's hard to find respite anyway when you're a foster parent, but it's really hard when you have a medical kiddo.
Okay. So so then he is still currently a foster child. So he is adopted.
He's adopted.
Gotcha.
He was adopted at 2.
So when does that, are you still considered a foster parent though? even though he's adopted?
We are, because it's still an active foster license.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. That was kind of confusing to me.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. No, there's just a lot of moving parts.
It all is like crystal clear to me because I've been in it for a while.
Oh, right,
but
right.
But when you're new to the game.
Yeah. Well, that's anything, yeah. though. That's it. Okay. So kind of like what's the journey been like now that you guys are currently in, now that you've adopted, now mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. you've kind of moved forward with it. Definitely moved forward with it. What's life been like?
You know, there are times where I still can't believe that I have a third kid.
Right.
That was not our plan. We were not planning to foster to adopt. We were going to foster to give kids a temporary place while their biological family was able to do whatever they needed to do to get their kids back. That was what we were going to do. We were going to foster little ones because at the time, leading up to the time we got our license, I had worked in preschool for 7 years and was really comfortable with little kids and thought we would just foster little ones. And then once our older boys were, you know, out of the house, we wanted to foster teenagers because we know there's a big need for that.
Right.
Lots of homes will refuse to take in teens. And we did not, at the age the boys were when we were licensed, they were 10 and 12 when we first were licensed. We did not feel comfortable bringing in teens with trauma.
That makes sense.
And so that's what we were going to foster teens after that. And then God brought us a 3-month-old medically fragile baby the plan in his case changed to adoption. And so okay. we decided God was wanting us to move forward with that.
Have you ever considered fostering any more kids?
When he was 3, we brought in the most chill 8-month-old baby boy. No medical issues, you know, was very easy, a great eater, great sleeper. And it was just very difficult for our son to have him in the home.
Okay.
So ironically, he does well when we have respite placements. Because I don't know if it's because they're medical. I don't know. Sometimes he knows the child outside of our home.
Right.
And so he's okay with that. But sometimes even if he doesn't, he seems to do just fine with it. It's like, He somehow understands, oh, this is just for a little bit and I can right. do this.
Right.
So.
Is it like an attention thing in the other cases?
I think it's more of an anxiety kind of thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He just, he does struggle with anxiety, which many children from trauma do.
Like change just or?
He's just anxious.
Okay. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure. Yeah, I'm anxious too.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. Me too. I don't judge. So, yeah. So okay. it's kind of hard to explain. I mean, there were other issues that were way more problematic, I guess. But it all was rooted in anxiety.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do
you want me to start about like how we even like started this whole thing? Like, because we didn't get married and go, oh, you know what? Let's foster. Like, you know, some couples do that and that's amazing. Like before they even get married, we did not.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go there.
Okay. So, my boys were about 6 and 8 at the time when God brought the first family that we really were up close and personal with who had adopted from foster care. All of their children were adopted from foster care and they will freely admit that life was a struggle. For them, their kids just all had different needs and issues, and they were not selling foster care in any way. But the more time I spent with them, I was just drawn to it and knew that that's what God had for us. And Jimmy was not on that same page with me. It took him about 3 years before he really joined me in that. Was like, yeah, let's do it. Because that's one thing I'll say. If I've met enough couples where she wants to foster and he's just doing it for her mm-hmm. because both parents have to be licensed. You have to go through the training and everything. If he's just doing it for her, it will never work.
Okay.
It will never work because if you, you both have to be all in.
Now, when you say it'll never work,
mm-hmm.
do you mean eventually just the fostering situation will fall through and that child will get placed back into a system, or?
I mean,
is that what happens?
It puts stress on a marriage anyway.
Right.
Because it's difficult. And so bringing a child in and he's not on board with it, he doesn't, you know, then it would mean potentially he's not helping. He's not, you know, engaged. Then, you know, it's not going to be a good situation. And the child will know too that, you know, right. he's not really interested.
Right. I mean, what would you say to somebody that was maybe thinking about mm-hmm. fostering, but their spouse isn't?
Wait and pray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, do you think it's safe to say don't feel too convicted negatively if it doesn't work out?
No, it's hard. It's hard to wait. And like I said, I waited 3 years before Jimmy was like, okay, let's do this. So yeah.
Okay.
Because it's just not going to be successful.
Right. Right.
For anyone.
Probably more damage on everybody to just
yes.
rush it. Right?
And child included. Like
right.
you said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so then you said it took about 3 years for Jimmy to come around and then.
Yes. And then, like I said, we were going to just foster littles and then foster teens later on.
Gotcha.
So our son was actually our second placement. Our first placement, I'll just be real honest, we did not handle well. Our first placement, we so desperately wanted to jump in and foster and help because we knew there was a need that we took a placement that one of the siblings was, because we said we would take two. We had room for two. We took two girls, 3 and 8. And we had said we would take 2 kids, 4 and under. But they will always ask, will you take outside of your boundaries? Because that's their job. They need
right.
it. Yeah. They're not trying to be pushy and you just have to say no and make your no mean no. And it's okay. There's no hard feelings. It's not, they're not going to call you again. They'll call you again.
Right.
But so we took this placement and I didn't fully understand how I needed to flex. I was expecting the children to be flexible in the situation mm-hmm. and I was not flexible. And so it did not go well and we ended up having to disrupt the placement.
Okay.
Now part of it too, the 8-year-old, that was a struggle too. She was close, because our boys are 10 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was closer in age to them and it was just not good.
Kind of competing or?
They had 2 brothers also. So she was used to being around boys and very common. She was manipulative and it just was not a good fit for us. So,
okay.
So then after that, we said, okay, we'll take one.
Right.
We said, we'll take 1, 4 and under. And so honestly, and now I'm not sure exactly what the situation is, but at the time it was rare to get a call for a kiddo that was under 5 that was going to be a single.
Okay.
More than likely that toddler was going to be part of a sibling group because unfortunately many children are not reported until they're in school.
What do you mean by that?
So if in the state of Indiana, everyone is a mandatory reporter. So like if you suspect like that your neighbor is abusing or neglecting their child, you're supposed to call the hotline.
Okay.
And report it. It's totally anonymous. They will never know it was you.
Okay.
Unless you tell them.
Right.
But people don't want to do that.
Right.
But teachers will.
Okay.
So 5-year-olds are in kindergarten.
Man. So what you're saying is it goes on way longer than it ever should.
Yes.
Okay.
Oftentimes. So we still don't know why our son was reported or who reported it because he's an only.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good though. I mean, that it happened that soon.
It was. It was.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So then we didn't, that was in April when we first got licensed. Well, we'd been licensed for a little while. We did have to wait even for that placement. And then he came to us in Labor Day weekend on a Friday night.
Okay.
Went to Riley to pick him up.
So I have questions that I've always wondered.
And if you ask me something, I'm not going to answer. I'll just tell you.
Okay, that's fine. But something that's always been really, I don't have kids. I'm 28. I'm not married. And so like, I've thought, like, I'm a very like reflective person. I try and like put myself in situations. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just can't imagine what it would be like to be a dad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't.
Right. And like, I always worry, like, you know, like, am I going to be able to love that kid? Right. Like one day when I am a dad, like, am I going to be able to like be a good dad?
You will. The fact that you're worried about it.
Right.
You'll be fine.
Right. But here's my question though, is there like a time frame when adopting or when fostering, mm-hmm. I guess adopting, when they actually become your child legally,
mm-hmm.
Does it take time to like grow that connection to start like loving that kid like it's your own? You know what I mean?
Sometimes. I mean, we didn't have that with our son, I think probably because he was so in need of love,
mm-hmm.
that it was easy to love him,
right,
in spite of his medical needs, in spite of the fact that he had to be fed every 3 hours, a feeding took an hour, and he would puke probably 7 of the 8 feedings a day.
Man.
I didn't leave the house a whole lot,
right,
in those first few weeks. Like, I just wore my pajamas, and we used beach towels instead of blankets for him. It was rough.
Oh,
but it wasn't hard to love him. But I'm sure with older kids who have behaviors and stuff like that from the outset,
right,
I'm sure it can be harder.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, with your biologicals, sometimes you don't always like them.
Right.
So, you know, that's just, I mean, you know, people are different.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes it does take it. But we didn't have that experience with him.
Right.
But I know many people that do. I know, you know, I have a friend who adopted a kiddo that she doesn't necessarily even like, but she had so many children come through her home that she thought she was going to adopt. Like, they thought there was no way that this child is being reunified. And every time they were, but they told God at the beginning of their journey, if you bring a child here that needs a home for forever, we will give that child a home for forever. And so the one that they have adopted is one that, it's very challenging, but they are honoring their commitment to God.
That's awesome.
It is.
But just to clarify too, for anybody listening, like what you said, it sounds harsh, but it's
right.
But it's not.
No.
When you get married to somebody, or when you're dating somebody, or when you're a friend with somebody, you can love that person and not always like that person,
right,
because people go through different times,
right,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's why the commitment of marriage is so important.
Right. Yeah. You choose to love.
Exactly.
And so she doesn't really always like her child, but she's choosing to love him.
Right.
And care for him.
Right.
And do for him what he needs.
Well, that's almost more admirable, you know, like, I mean, that you set aside your feelings and
right,
say, no, I'm going to love you anyways.
Right.
And that's what's more Christ-like than that, you
right,
know?
Right.
Okay. That's awesome.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you definitely did. You definitely did. Sorry, I jump around a lot. It's a mess up here. So now,
mm-hmm.
what, like, other than adoption,
mm-hmm.
Other than you guys aren't currently fostering any other kids, do you have plans now to do that anymore?
I don't know.
Okay. Just,
I'm just trying to be open.
Wherever God takes you, right?
Yeah.
So are you guys still involved though with, like supporting other families that are doing that? Or, I know you, what's the organization with the pillowcases that we're doing right now?
We're doing, currently for the month of May, for Foster Care Awareness Month, we are doing, removal bags, pillowcase removal bags, for DCS. For Johnson County,
right,
DCS,
and mm-hmm. and it's what do you call that though? For the there's a classification of the children. is it trouble, not troubled, but like coming from like kind of difficult backgrounds. You said vulnerable children. There was. I didn't want to go out on a limb and call it the wrong thing. I'm sorry. But yeah, no, I didn't even know this was a thing, but currently, you were talking about getting these bags, basically homemade bags mm-hmm. for the kids to put right. their belongings in. Right. Would you want to talk about that a little
sure.
bit?
Sure. So typically when kids are removed, it's DCS, the removal worker, will have a bag of black plastic trash bags in their car. And when a child is removed, each child gets a black plastic trash bag. You put your stuff in, and that, from the outset of the situation, tells the child, your stuff is trash. Like, I can't imagine if someone came to my house and said, all right, you've got like 10 minutes, everything that is most precious to you in the world, put it in this black plastic trash bag because you're leaving and you might not see the rest of the stuff ever.
Right.
And so.
So the cherry on top of the situation, right?
Right, exactly. So Johnson County DCS and Marion also, we're primarily focusing on Johnson County, but if we get an abundance, we'll send some to Marion also. We are doing a drive to collect pillowcase bags that DCS has already said, yes, we will absolutely have our workers use these bags to give to children to put their things in. You know, who knows if they will use it beyond that, but at least they're not getting the message that they're trash and their things are trash and it's worthless. So the bags are, they can be made from an actual pillowcase. You basically just can put in a drawstring and sew up the cut at the top, because we need to have a drawstring so the bag will cinch shut.
Okay.
Or people can just sew something similar to the, you know, same size as a pillowcase and again, put in a drawstring. And it's easy peasy. There are tons of ways to do it, like on Pinterest, and you just right. Google it, pillowcase bag.
Mm-hmm. Right. As long as it's functional and it,
right.
it's
absolutely
it's nicer than a trash bag, right?
Right. And absolutely. And if people do use pillowcases, we just want them to be not pilled or worn
right.
or stained
right.
or things like that. You know, sometimes people think, well, it's better than a trash bag, but it,
right.
But it would still want to be respectful. Absolutely.
The idea yeah. is to allow this kid to know that they're cared for, that right. they are a valuable right. child of God, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Have you guys been getting a lot of support with that?
We have. We have quite a few people that have signed up to sew. And then just I've got some other ladies in the church that are known to sew and enjoy that. And so they've kind of put it out to kind of their little circles and... So I think we're probably going to vastly exceed the 100 bag.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If people wanted to help with that, how could they reach out?
They can just call the church, or I don't know. Do you want me to put my email out here?
No, don't throw your email out there. You don't have to do that.
They can call the church.
So get a hold of us here at New Hope Church, yeah. New Hope Greenwood. Mm-hmm. BecomeHope.com is how you could reach us. Or you could email us at questions@becomehope, and we'll get you hooked up with the right people.
And you know, if you're not here locally, you're listening somewhere else, every place has a DCS office, and more than likely a DCS office would be glad to accept those.
Oh, that'd be guys. Fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. if this could be a thing that started happening everywhere, that would be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, talking about foster care, talking about adoption, how have you seen God working in your life, in your and Jimmy's lives, and in the lives of your kids just through this time, through this process, or maybe even in the lives of other people you know?
You know, just being able to step into other people's lives and step into their mess, it gives just... the opportunity to just glimpse what God does for us, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're a savior. I don't mean that. But just to, I don't even know how to explain. It's just, it's so overwhelming to know that you're part of this bigger picture. And, yeah. you know, with adoption, you know, God has adopted us. And so... to go, okay, as much as I love my son, and I'm so thankful that even though we are not related biologically, but he is mine, I've chosen him to be my son, that overwhelming feeling that I feel about him, that God feels so much more about us.
Right.
And that's so humbling.
And I mean, in a way, you are not obligated to love him, but you do.
Right.
And that's how God is with us.
Right.
He doesn't have to,
right,
but he does.
Right.
And so, yeah, puts things in perspective, maybe.
Right. Just having that opportunity to like fully understand what that scripture means.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I could talk for hours about, you know, what God has done. You know, I know that he has, in our older boys' lives, he has definitely changed, I think, their trajectory, especially our older son, our oldest, on, you know, his career path,
mm-hmm.
Working with vulnerable peoples is, you know, kind of what he feels his life's calling is. And I don't know that he would have necessarily, I mean, God can do anything, of course, but I think being in the foster and adoptive world just helped him cue into that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's amazing to just kind of sit back and watch and go, I did not see that coming.
Right.
And then with our other son, just to see the tenderness that he has with all people of special needs that I would not have expected. I mean, he's a great kid, but he's not always been great with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to see the way he is with his brother and to see how he is with other kids.
It's cool to see them interact.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
He does a good job. You know,
he does.
He's patient.
He is.
And sometimes I can hear his voice running a little thin and he still holds it together,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we've all had the opportunity to practice our patience.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's been a blessing, okay, to see that.
Well, I think the coolest thing about this is it's not really church related,
mm-hmm,
but it's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
This is serving.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been trying to push that on people. we've been trying to help people understand that mm-hmm, that ministry doesn't always look like, oh, hey, let's go have a Bible study. Oh, hey, let's go as a church and go do this thing. It's serving God. Jesus breaks down the greatest commandments as love God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, strength, love your neighbor as you'd love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing here. And I hope people can be encouraged to learn that you can serve in a lot of different capacities and it doesn't always look like church. It mm-hmm doesn't have to look like church.
Mm-hmm.
It's about loving people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Would you tell any, like what wise words would you leave with anybody?
Oh man, I don't know.
That's pretty humble.
You're assuming I have wise words, Zach. I don't know.
Any advice?
Don't overthink it.
There you go.
If you think that it might be for you, just try it. There's no reason not to. Like,
right,
to get your foster license, the only thing that costs you, if you go through Children's Bureau, I don't know about others, and it's probably the exact same, but you only have to pay for your fingerprinting.
Okay.
Which is like $37.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like $20 or $30, right?
And even that, once you are fully licensed and you take your first placement and turn in your receipt, they'll reimburse you for that. Like,
really?
It doesn't cost you anything but some time.
Wow.
And if nothing else, you'll come out better educated, more well-rounded individual. You'll
right
understand about trauma to some degree. You'll, you know, have met other people and, you know, that's never wasted.
No, that would help. it's always good to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Mm-hmm. I think I myself struggle with empathy in a lot of ways because I just don't know what other people are feeling because I'm not them, you know. But right. whenever you see other people going through something and right. you're right there,
right.
man, it helps. Right. It does.
Right.
So I think that's great. So if somebody did want to get involved with that sort of thing, mm-hmm. where should they go? What should they do to kind of to get a hold of the right people to do this?
So if they are wanting to foster just through the county, you can just go to your local, just look up, you know, your county name and DCS.
Okay.
And then they will route you through to find out, you know, I'm guessing a lot of places are still doing virtual training, which makes it even easier to get your license. You know, you have to go, okay, and I got to be there on this time and, you know, get childcare, whatever. And if you can do it from home, that's even better. If you want to go through an agency, I always encourage people to, you know, check out a few agencies, look at their website, see what it says, talk to other foster parents that are licensed through them. You know, look on Facebook, find adoption or foster support groups, like the Indiana Adoption and Foster Care page. It's a huge page. You don't have to be a foster or an adoptive parent to be on there.
Okay.
You can just apply to be on. And then I can't remember if it's one that asks you questions, but you can be on there and then you can just post and say, hey, we're thinking about this. And, you know, or what do you know about this agency? Or what do you know about this agency? And yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like it's not hard to find out how to get connected.
No.
And it sounds
I'm happy to talk to anybody. If anybody wants to get in touch with me, just contact the church and I'll be glad to chat about anything.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, Chris, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for talking about this.
And sure.
It wasn't so bad, right?
That's all right.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. But, so if you guys have any questions for us here at New Hope on how to get connected with this stuff, or if you've got questions for us to cover here on Salty Saints or on one of the other podcasts, you can reach us through questions@becomehope.com or at saltysaints@becomehope.com. I think that's about it. So stay salty. There it is.
Hello, my name's Rachel Carmen, and I want to invite you to come over and listen to my podcast. It's called Real Refreshment. For years and years as a young mother, I chased after the wind, thinking that the world could offer me the refreshment I longed for. But it was only when I discovered it in the person of Jesus Christ that I really found refreshment. Come on over and join me as we dig into Bible study. I'll see you there.